Lesson number 4. What asset does your banker love the most? A radio host asked me, "What do you invest in?" I replied, "I began investing in real estate in my 20s, so the bulk of my investments are in real estate today. I also own businesses and some paper assets such as stocks, bonds, and mutual funds." The interviewer then said, "I don't like real estate. I don't want to fix toilets and receive phone calls late at night from tenants. That is why I don't invest in real estate. Everything I have is in stocks or mutual funds." He then ended the interview, cut to a commercial break, and I was ushered out of the studio. Later that evening, I reflected on that interview. I said to myself, what an expensive decision that radio interviewer has made. He does not want to invest in real estate because he does not want to fix toilets or receive phone calls late in the night. I wonder if he knows how much that single idea is costing him. In our third book, Rich Dad's Guide to Investing, I wrote about the three primary asset classes a person can invest in. They are 1. Businesses, 2. Real estate, 3. Paper assets. As I sat there quietly that evening, I could hear Rich Dad saying to me, "Which one of these three asset classes does my banker love the most?" The answer is real estate. Of the three assets, it is very difficult to receive a loan to start a small business. You might get a small business loan, but those loans often require you to pledge your other assets as security. It is also very difficult to get your banker to lend you money to buy paper assets. Your banker may use your paper assets as collateral and then loan you the money personally. Rarely will a banker lend you money for 30 years at 8% to buy paper assets, but your banker will loan it to you to buy real estate. Years ago, Rich Dad said to Mike and me, "If you want to be rich, you must give your banker what he wants. First of all, your banker wants to see your financial statements. Second, a banker wants to lend you money to buy real estate. Just know what your banker wants and you'll find it easier to become rich." That is one of the reasons I said that the radio host's prejudice against real estate was expensive. It is an expensive idea because he will have to use his own after-tax dollars to buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds without the leverage of his banker's money. He had to use the most expensive money of all, his own money that comes from his labor, after the government has taken its share in taxes. Let's use a $10,000 example to illustrate this point. If the radio host buys mutual funds, all he can buy is $10,000 worth. If the host were to buy real estate, it would be fairly easy to buy a $100,000 property with $10,000 and $90,000 borrowed from the bank. I am also assuming that the property has a positive cash flow, which means that the tenant's payments cover all expenses and the cost of the bank's mortgage, as well as providing some income. Let's say the markets are good and each asset goes up 10% that year. The mutual funds will gain for that investor $1,000, and the real estate will gain for the investor $10,000, plus the income from cash flow, plus depreciation, plus no capital gains tax, in America, if a tax-deferred exchange is used at the time of sale. The mutual fund probably does not have any cash flow, is not entitled to depreciation benefits, and is taxed at capital gains tax rates if outside a pension plan. This is not to say paper assets are bad. I have substantial holdings in stocks and mutual funds. The point illustrated here is the cost of the idea, "I don't invest in real estate." To me, the biggest expense of all is personal freedom. For Kim and me, the best thing about real estate is the monthly passive cash flow income taxed at a lower rate than earned income, which allows us to be financially free. In other words, real estate allows us to have good debt, and good debt is debt that makes us richer quicker. But in utilizing leverage or the bank's money to get richer quicker, there is a price to pay. If you look at the returns on your capital, by using no leverage, your return on $10,000 is 10%. But by using the bank's money, your return is 100% on your money. That also means that the real estate market would need only go up by 1% to have the same return as the paper market going up by 10%. When you factor in the tax advantages, the real estate market can improve by less than 1% to have the same net return as a paper market improving by 10%. Those are some of the reasons why Rich Dad said, "Always give the banker what he wants," and why he also issued these words of caution: "Always treat any debt as you would a loaded gun." The reason is because leverage can swing both ways with equal force, meaning you can make a lot more money using the bank's money, and you can lose a lot more money using the bank's money. So the price to pay is an investment in your education and several years of experience. If you are not willing to pay that price, do not use other people's money. Use only your own money and play it safe. Paying the price for education. In the 1970s, I invested in that real estate investment class, which cost $385, That 3-day course has been one of the best investments I have ever made. I started slowly with small investments and invested another 5 years gaining the experience I needed. I, too, do not want to fix toilets, nor do I want to receive phone calls in the night. And I don't. But I do like what my investment in real estate brings me, and that is a lot of good debt and a lot of freedom. At a recent real estate seminar in Dallas, Texas, where I was the guest speaker, a man of about 60 years of age approached me. He had heard me say, "My rich dad taught me to be a real estate investor by playing Monopoly, and we all know the formula for great wealth found in that game. And the formula is, buy 4 greenhouses and turn them into 1 red hotel." This gentleman came up to me and said, "Should I turn my houses into red hotels?" I smiled and asked, "How many houses do you have?" He thought for a moment and said, "A little over 700. "What?" was all I could say in response to him. Sitting down to find out more, I learned that he was a rancher out in West Texas. For the last 40 years, he would buy a few houses a year and rent them out. He went through the booms and busts of both the oil and cattle businesses of West Texas. When it was a bust economy, he would buy houses for people who were in financial trouble and often rent them back to them. As his cash flow grew, he just kept buying more houses, most under $65,000, and he never sold any. At the time of our meeting, I found out that he was averaging $200 a month per house in positive cash flow. I gasped and said, "You mean you have over $140,000 in monthly income? Over $1 million a year just from rental property?" "Yep," he said. "That is why I came to ask you if you think I should start selling some of my green houses and start buying some of them red hotels. Takes a lot of time buying those little greenhouses, so I like your idea of buying bigger buildings. Then I don't have to buy as many." I shook my head and laughed and said, "The next seminar we have, I want you to be the speaker and I'll be the student." I then gave him the name and number of my financial and tax advisors and told him to call them. I told them that he was far beyond me. As he thanked me for the phone numbers, my mind drifted back 40 years to memories of my rich dad playing Monopoly with Mike and me. I was playing Monopoly with little green plastic houses, and the gentleman walking away from me was playing the game for real. I could hear Rich Dad saying to Mike and me, "My banker always wants to lend me money to buy more real estate, so I always give my banker what he wants."